This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get down and dirty and intimate.
I'm ready to go one-on-one.
Yeah.
I'm focusing more on this one-on-one thing than the weird intimate noise that you made.
Well, okay.
You're like, yeah, I'm gonna go one-on-one.
Don't make fun of my noises.
I shall.
That's just shaming. That's noise shaming. We are talking about video games, as always, and actually specifically, because it is E3 period, we want to talk about a particular funny topic, which is cringe.
It comes up every year. Like, I don't know how people haven't learnt this by yet, but every year since E3 began, one of the biggest things you can always put money on is that some developer will make us all cringe. We will, our skin will crawl. We will want to walk out of the room from embarrassment.
I feel like E3 press conference cringe could be like a medically recognized, like, reaction.
I think, yeah, definitely. I have a deliberate reaction to it that I don't to any other kind of cringeworthy moment. E3 is a special place where a group of suits don't quite. They want to address the youth, usually. And I find this is what really at the heart of it.
They'll sit on a chair backwards and put their cap to the side.
Yeah, and it's that whole thing of, like, Steve Buscemi in 30 Rock when he's trying to infiltrate the high school and he walks in just with a skateboard going, "Hello, fellow youths." This is what E3 does to us sometimes, I feel. And it's that thing that they want to address the youth. They want to get us all excited about their game. They want to, you know, get everyone hyped. And how do we get everyone hyped? And the problem is, for every, you know, God of War reveal that enticed an entire audience to stand up and start screaming, there are a bunch that have the exact opposite reaction.
Yeah.
And you watch as people just fall into their chairs trying to melt out of the entire scene.
And it's like the crickets playing in the background.
Yeah. And I think there's a few key things that happen. So I think we need to break down and look at, like, the key ones that just happen every year and just keep happening. And I don't know why they keep happening.
It's because they don't learn, do they? It's like, no, this time we'll get it right. Just don't try it all.
Let's reference some more television. It's like when Principal Skinner. Is there something wrong with me? No, it's the children who are wrong. It's that all over with this. So I think the big one, the one that comes up every year, is the tech demos that go wrong.
Oh, yeah. So that's a popular one.
There's two different types of tech demo here. You've got the ones that go wrong and the ones that were wrong before they even, like, that were conceived wrong. Let's go with the ones that break down first. One of the most infamous ones was Battlefield 4. I don't know if you watched that one, but it was uncomfortable beyond belief. Basically, what happened is they went to show Battlefield 4 and they couldn't get it to start. And it went on for so long as they tried to boot it, to the point that they were getting heckled by the audience.
I kind of wish I was there, like, part of that moment, just to see the reactions of the people on stage and their life, like, draining from their face, going, we've messed up so bad.
Well, the host is standing there trying to shush everyone, like, oh, no, it's coming, it's fine, it's coming. But you can also see that he is, like, eyeing the side of the stage, like, can I just run?
Yeah.
Like, you can tell he did not sign up for this. He's not trained for dealing with this. He thought he was going to come out and be like, hey, everyone, check out this awesome game. And then he'd be able to just walk free. But no, instead he had to try and rustle up a group of angry nerds who wanted to watch their new game trailer, and it was not playing. They eventually got it up, and no one really cared. Yeah. The point had passed. It was too much of a joke by this point. Like, it came up and was like, oh yeah, that's cool. But everyone was more relieved that something had happened, because it started to get really uncomfortable for this poor host who just looked like he was having the worst day of his life.
I feel really bad for the host sometimes. I mean, sometimes they're the creator of the cringe, but sometimes they're just in amongst it with the audience and with the viewers going, oh, how do we deal with this?
Yeah, and I think there's times where it can, you know, you get it wrong, you get it right. There's been many times where someone's gone out to show a new peripheral, usually a motion control, and it's not connecting, it's not working, it's not doing that. But you've got ones like Naughty Dog when it showed Uncharted 4 had the exact same problem. Cutscene was finishing, Drake was walking into the scene, and right when gameplay was supposed to begin, nothing happened.
Mm.
And was like, oh, and the controller.
I do remember that.
The controller wasn't working. And so they went off, they fixed it, and they came back, and it took them only, not even a full minute to fix it. They started again, and it worked. What that did show, they use it quite smart. And they're having people who think that maybe it was deliberate. Because what it did show is that it was actual gameplay.
Yeah, it was proven to be live gameplay footage.
Yeah, it was seamless into live gameplay, and it looked really good and didn't look like it was predestined and scripted. Like we have so many people who are standing there holding their controllers and they're moving their fingers around furiously, and you're like, you're not pressing, like, for what your character's doing, you're pressing way too many buttons.
Yeah, there's almost no perfect win for these companies, is there? Because you can either do the pre-record scripted thing and then chuck somebody on the stage with the controller and pretend like they're actually doing it.
Yep.
And if they do it that way, at least they're guaranteed that what's happening on the screen will be what they want to be presenting.
And will fit in the schedule that they have planned for themselves.
Exactly. So that way it works out in their favor in some sense, but also it's really awkward when it's super obvious that the person isn't actually playing the game, mm-hmm. and there's a bit of cringe in that involved.
Uh-huh.
But then if they do it live, there's so many other things that can fuck up that the cringe is involved in that way too.
Well, you've got things like when Konami tried to show their answer to Guitar Hero and Rock Band and all that, and the people who were playing the song, who were the creators of the game, failed the song.
Yeah, they got booed by the virtual audience.
Yeah, and then apparently, because of the booing from the virtual audience, some of the real life audience started to heckle them as well.
If I was in that audience, just to be a part of the atmosphere and the game, I'd be booing too.
So far, you've pointed out twice that you want to be in the audience so that you can attack the people on stage.
Because I get so much glee from that. Please give this to me.
When cringe happens in E3, I sink into my couch. You wanna run away. I cover my face. I hate it. I hate secondhand cringe.
What about when they get celebrities up on the stage?
Wow. There have been some instances. One of the ones that always comes to mind was Jason Derulo.
Jason
Derulo, who did 2015 for the Just Dance 2016 edition.
Yep.
And he was jumping around, trying to get everyone excited. There was lasers going. And then it cut to the audience, and no one was even, bopping their head. Everyone was just staring dead ahead. It was dead air. And it was so obvious that everyone just wanted him to go away. But they do that every year. They get their dancers up. They're like, wow, we're so excited to dance. And it was like, oh, just give just us a montage away, and dance. Move on. We get you're coming. We always know you're coming.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. It's like, why do Ubisoft put so much attention to the Just Dance franchise when everybody knows it's coming?
Yeah.
And there are a select few, handful of people who love Just Dance, and they'll buy your game regardless. Who are you pitching this to?
Yeah, who's sitting there going, oh, well, now that Jason Derulo's connected to this, I'm totally in, guys. Let's go get Just Dance. You were getting it already or you weren't. This is farcical. Stop showing it, Ubisoft.
But they really, they're so excited to get other people excited. They want to be dancing. They want to be jumping around. They want to be singing. They want to be a party atmosphere. And they even had, was it last year when all the people in the costumes came dressed up and they were dancing around?
Yes.
And it was just...
Wasn't there lots of people in onesies?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it was awful. I remember we were all in the chat while we were watching it, and we were just like, what is happening? Mm. What is this? It was awful. I'm not here for it. I'm not subscribing to that newsletter.
No, I know. I agree.
But then you've also got when you've got hosts who are celebrities. Your hosts can get a bit wild sometimes. Yeah. You've got people like Aisha Taylor, who is definitely Aisha Taylor if you've listened to the main podcast. I know who I'm talking about now. And there was that awkward one, I think it was last year or the year before. No, she wasn't there last year. Year before, where out of nowhere she asked someone in the audience, hey, do you want to pitch a meme?
And then just silence.
With no preparation for this guy. And he's like, what? And the entire audience is like, what are you doing? But it's like that thing is like, I as a suit have heard of the meme.
The kids.
Kids love the memes.
The kids are all about those memes.
So let's bring in memes to our video games, guys. And it doesn't work.
No, of course it doesn't work, because that poor guy, like, imagine if you were in the audience and that question was thrown at you. Like, do you have a fun, smart, or clever answer to retort with? No, of course not. It's just a stupid question.
I always have a fun, smart...
All right, Cameron.
No, I don't.
Pitch a meme.
I know. I would 100% be there going... That's what you'd get from me. And you could just tell. And he was just like, I don't know what's happening. And no one did.
Please leave me alone.
Yeah. It's that thing... Like, you get these people who are disjointed from the industry that we love. Which is weird, because Aisha Taylor is a gamer. She's admitted to that. She loves games, but...
Aisha does it well quite a lot, I actually find. And I think maybe we have a bit of a disagreement on
that. No, no.
Okay. I definitely like Aisha Taylor.
I think she's very charismatic and friendly.
There are celebrities, though, they bring in who are clearly just have no attachment to gaming. They're there for a paycheck, and they just do not look happy.
Last year, I can't remember her name, but she was the voice actress and face model for the Star Wars Battlefront game, and she was on Glee. I can't remember the actress. She did pretty well. She was not too cringy, but then at times she was talking, and I'm like, I feel like this is just a script. But then she'd say something that made me go, actually, maybe you do play video games. And it's that thing. You can tell when they don't and when they do.
Yeah, you can kind of tell when they have passion for something and when they're just there for the paycheck. And I think it's that latter example that we see over and over again, and hopefully they finally get rid of it, because it's so transparent and it's so obvious that these people don't want to be there, that it's just so cringy to watch as an audience.
The new problem that I found last year, that because there weren't that many celebrities there last year, do you know what there were lots of? Streamers.
Influencers, Cameron.
Influencers in the gaming industry. Lots of people with Let's Plays who suddenly were thrust in front of a camera. The guy who had to do the Need for Speed one.
Oh,
and he
God.
Had his he had his hipster glasses and his denim jacket, and I could see there was no glass in his lenses. And I'm just like, mate.
Do you remember the Battlefield one where they had like 20 influencers all playing against each other, and they're all like vying to be the most attention grabbing and annoying.
Yeah, they
person.
Had to be the funniest so that EA would switch to their camera and be like, they're having a great time, look how energetic they are. And then at the end, two of them turned out they were a couple who streamed together, and so they'd had them in, and then one proposed to the other. And I'm like, this feels really awkward. What if she said no?
I'd be all for that.
I would have said no just out of principle of, you got me in front of hundreds of thousands, possibly a million of viewers, when you actually put all the different streams together.
Yeah.
And you propose to me. How dare you?
I think the cringiest part of all that for me was just how much attention they put on the influencers and how much time they gave to them.
And
I think they thought that's what we wanted, but that's not what we want. We want to see gameplay. We want to see a trailer. Then move on. Give us something new.
I worry that we're going to see the same thing this year. People think that we care about these internet personalities. And, you know, the problem is that there's so many, and it's so subjective, you can't please all of us. Yeah. I saw none of the people from the gaming world that I pay attention to what they do, and the ones that I did see, I knew of them, and I was like, oh, God, you're here.
Yeah, the unfortunate truth to it is the biggest Twitch streamers, the biggest YouTubers, they often have a very young audience,
a very young audience.
And unfortunately, I don't think those audiences are watching E3, or maybe they are, but they're not... They're not
up at 4 a.m. watching they're not actually watching those big things. They're watching snippets, and they'll usually get it from the person that they follow.
Yeah.
Being able to entertain younger gaming audiences did not translate to being able to hold the presence of a camera and a stage and get the world excited about a game.
Yes, true. Very
That's
true.
That's what it is. And we
I think
saw
we
that
need less
year.
Influencers. I'm so sick of, the next big Twitch streamer, like, going up on stage, and lo and behold, they're not that, like, they're quite awkward in person.
Yeah, wow, this you're not person. As charismatic? What?
Crazy.
I think the other thing that I also think we need to just, we could do away with is lots of live presentations of peripherals. So, I don't know if you remember, when the Kinect came out, one of its things was a Rapids game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
And it came with the peripheral of an inflatable raft.
Yeah, what a terrible peripheral.
Can
so
I also point out that peripheral, it actually came with a warning that you couldn't put it in water.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it wasn't a usable
Why
raft.
Would you?
It was literally there to put around your feet while you play a Kinect game that you'd probably pay for like 5 minutes.
Stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, watching the two women on stage alone hyping each other up, oh, here we go. We've got to go left. Whoa. Oh, stop.
I mean, watching any of those peripherals, whether it was the Kinect, whether it was Wii motion controls, whether it's like VR now, just watching people do it in person, it's like, no. Yeah. I don't want to see people act strangely. Like, I'm sure it's fine for them in their position interacting with the game, but as an audience, it's so awkward.
That's something that you leave for when we start doing the showroom floors. When, like, when we get the people that we follow in the gaming world go and they experience a thing, because we know them as people and they come through much more honestly than two women who have probably come over from the marketing team and it's their job to sell kids this inflatable raft that no one needs. But
I do love it when they get like a lead developer of a game or something to do like a live demonstration, or they get that person to talk about their game, because so often, just because you're a lead developer, A, doesn't mean you're good at the game. You could be terrible.
Also doesn't mean you've been paying much attention to every part of the game.
Exactly. And also, it doesn't mean you're charismatic and the kind of person who can stand on a stage and talk to millions of people like in the online space either. Yeah. Like, these aren't the best people to do this.
These are usually the people who it's their job to, you know, micromanage other teams and get things finalized and deal with deadlines, not, you know, go to soirees and woo.
And they often try to be funny, which is the best part.
And they miss it so much. They miss the mark so often. Oh. Like, there's so many times where someone comes out and it's different. Like, there's been times where they've gotten someone from a development team to talk about the game, and that is so interesting because you can see the passion behind what they're doing. They talk about a character they develop, they talk about an art direction they put together, and that's when I go, oh, you're selling this to me because you're coming from a passionate place.
Yeah, it's meaningful.
It's meaningful. That doesn't mean that everyone can do that, and you really need to vet these people before you put them on a stage.
Yes,
like, definitely. And I think that's a big thing. One more thing that I remember from before, when we were talking about those kind of scripted moments with people with peripherals.
Yes.
Let's talk about scripted team chat in multiplayer games.
It's like that fake squad chat.
Yeah.
Alpha Bravo, I have taken position behind the bogeys.
And then they're like, I'm going to throw out a heal pack over here. Oh, thanks. I'm coming to get it. And then, where are we going? Let's go south from here. And I'm like, south? Like, they did it with Anthem last year, and I'm hoping to God they don't do it again this year, because it was the thing that you were sitting there going, and then they're like, oh my God, I won so-and-so gun. Wow, I've been after that one for so long, because I'm trying to imply to you that I've been playing this for ages, trying to get the things that I want, and there's definitely a great gameplay loop for you to enjoy.
The problem with that kind of squad chat is it's so transparent. It's so obvious that, like, first of all, nobody talks this way a lot of the time, because I think it was Wildlands, was it, that they did that kind of scripted squad chat at E3 last year, and it was just so gross, the way they were using, like, military terms, and the way they were, and, like, nobody talks like this.
No.
Nobody talks like this. You'd be swearing at your mate, saying, you're a fucking idiot, how did you do that? Just play the damn game.
I want some actual, genuine, team chat to happen on this. And what you get is you get someone's eating a thing of Doritos.
Yeah.
Someone's got music going in the background. Someone starts talking to someone that walks in, like, no, I'm just playing a game.
Somebody doesn't have their headphones plugged in, so you're hearing their sound come from the video game.
Yeah, exactly. It's the feedback. But there's that person who, like, just steps away, like, just enough that, like, you can just hear them. So they're just like this.
Mike, no. Turn up your microphone.
No, mum. No, mum. Mum, I can't pause. It's online.
That's okay, what I want. If we had that, I'd be all on board.
I want... Who can we trust to do something like that? Borderlands 3. You know, 2K have that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Let's get them to come in and just take the piss of these stupid
team
chat bullshit.
If it's going to happen, it'll be in the Devolver Digital press conference. Because they love making fun of other developers.
Well, they didn't do it last year. Instead, they just stuck their thumb up their ass and did nothing.
No, they had some funny moments.
They did, and then it just devolved, if I will, into... How long was it in the end? 8 hours?
Oh, my God.
I can't remember. You and I, like, at the 3-hour mark, we were like, we're
Colby
done.
Colby watched the whole thing.
Colby went for the full 8 hours from my memory, and he said it was transcendent.
I imagine if you watched that whole thing, you would have, like, evolved into another state.
You would see, like, hypercolor. You'd be able to see through time if you watched that entire thing.
Yeah.
It's for sure. But
yet somehow not the cringiest conference of the lot.
I know, right? Somehow I managed to cringe more during EA when we got some, you know, some soccer stars. And there was that one random soccer star who pretended to just be walking past their interview and was like, oh, I'll talk about the game as well. No. Stop yeah. lying to us. Just come out. Tell us the facts. Show us a video and walk off the damn stage.
I think that's what we need. I think we need game, next game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Someone to introduce at best. Hi, I'm so-and-so, the lead developer on it, and I'd like to introduce you to... Yeah. And there's a game.
All that kind of interlude and the kind of entertaining and the kind of like, I'm hip with the kids, like, here's my online speak. It's like, no.
Cut it.
Just stop doing that.
Remove it. Leave it for the show floor. Give you want to sell your game, do it on the show floor. We'll find our content from the show floor, from the people that we follow. You can pitch it to someone who I trust, and then I will trust it coming from them.
But at the same time, cringe has become such a staple of E3, I think I'd miss it.
I kind of hope. My hope
I'm
is
looking
that,
forward to it.
I hope that they try and make laser tag a thing and get Joel McHale to try and shoot someone.
Oh, yeah, imagine if they did that.
Oh, my God. I'm hoping for audience participation this year. Let's get it.
Ooh, maybe we'll have, like, a streaker.
A political message.
Yes.
Someone just, like, barge the stage completely
no
nude.
No more loot boxes.
No. Someone actually is going to, like, they'll put a loot box on the stage, they'll kick out of it like they're Shangela screaming hallelujah completely in the nude and be like, this is what they're giving you in loot boxes. Fucking nothing. And then run from the stage.
Okay, if that happens, absolutely not. No cringe.
No, I'd...
That'd be fantastic.
It'd be the highlight. It'd be my number one spot for best of E3.
That'd win. Anyway, that's all the time we've got. Cameron, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for going one-on-one with me.
No problem. My name has been Elliot, and we've been talking all about E3 cringe. Hopefully, there's not too much of it, but just enough at this year's E3.
Like salt on a good meal.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know why it was salt. I'm sorry.
Salt on a delicious meal.
This got cringy right at the end. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's okay. It's a perfect episode for it. All right, join us next week, guys. Bye.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.